Shalom, Father Tom. I am so privileged to share with you this interview. There's some people in life that I really admire, I look up to. They're usually people who are spiritual. Our guest is a very spiritual person. He's a leader. He's a leader to me and to so many others. You know of my friendship with Rabbi Gelman and how I often listen to Mark, Bishop McGann. I've talked to you about how he has guided me in so many different ways. Father Bob Lourdes, my spiritual director. Well, Sri Shinmoy is one of my guides. He, because of as much of who he is as what he says, we come from different religions. He is a Hindu, and I'm a Catholic, and we're united by the same God. We're united by the same God who loves us. We're united by our desire to make this a more spiritual world. We're going to be lucky. We're going to hear some of his songs, and I just want to give you a little glimpse in advance. He has a birthday song in which he looks at a child and says, "We love your souls." Isn't that a wonderful thing? Or when we come to God for forgiveness, we discover that God is forgiveness. How about this? I don't know who I am, but I do know whose I am. We belong to God. You don't always have to know everything about yourself. God asked me to sing for him. What is God asking you to do? Maybe God's asking you to paint, or pray, or love, or bake. And finally, there's no entrance fee needed to land in God's heart. So here at Telecare, you know we're dedicated to promoting goodness in families, in the community, in the world. That's why it is such a privilege to have Sri Shinmoy as our guest today. He is a man, he's a spiritual leader who has tirelessly dedicated his life to the pursuit of world peace and the fulfillment of the human spirit. Through his music, his art, his poetry, and his writing, Sri Shinmoy inspires all of us to work toward peace and goodwill. And it's a pleasure to have him with us today. Sri,
Father, before I say, it is I who have to thank you from the very depths of my heart. Your blissful compassion, affection, I have been cherishing for over a decade. So my heart is all gratitude to you, Father.
Sri, we have been fortunate to share prayer together, to play tennis together. I have met many of the people of your community, and I admire and just enjoy being with your community. Can you tell me, for those who did not grow up with a Hindu background, what are some of the fundamentals of Hinduism?
Hinduism, to start with, Hinduism is not a religion, Father. Mm-hmm. It has no founder. Mm-hmm. And it is based on the messages that we received from the Vedic sages of the hoary past. They prayed to God, they meditated on God, and they got inner experiences. And these inner experiences they wanted to share with humanity. So our Hinduism is not a religion, it is a way. There are many ways to arrive at the goal. So Hinduism is just a way to arrive at the particular goal. And this goal is common to all. Mm. And Hinduism accepts, real Hinduism accepts everything and every human being. Mm-hmm. It says everybody has to accept the world. God the Father and God the Creator and God the creation have to be accepted at the same time. When we pray, we feel that God is in heaven, but we do not feel that the same God is inside our heart, all around us. So we neglect God the creation. When you look at the beauty of nature, we must feel that it is the living presence of God. When you look at a tree, when you look at a plant, or when you enter into a garden, we must feel it is God who is now taking incarnation as a beautiful flower, most beautiful flower. So our Hinduism tells us that we must accept everything as a manifestation of God. Mm-hmm. Everything that we see all around us is a manifestation of God. Every human being is a manifestation of God. And God has a special message to offer to mankind with each individual. Each individual embodies a special message from God. Here, a king will have a particular message, and again, a seeker will have a particular message. Each individual is a dream of God, and a unique dream of God. So our Hindu philosophy says, each individual embodies a special, very special dream of God.
Would Hindus, as they grow up in a family, be brought to anything? In Catholicism, we have like sacraments. Somebody is baptized. When they get married, they go to the church, or they receive communion, they receive confirmation. Would a Hindu go to a temple at special times?
Yes, a Hindu will go to special Hindu. He has to be initiated in his own way. It means in according to his family tradition. Each family has a spiritual master, and the master will bless the child and then offer blessingful messages to the parents. Mm-hmm. And if you are a Brahmin, then you need a special sacred thread. It has to be invested, and then we pray to God in a special way. A Brahmin has to pray to God in the temple in a special way. A Kshatriya warrior, he will also pray in his own way. But the prayers, ultimately, they lead to the same destination. Only like you pray to God in English, I pray to God in Bengali. Mm-hmm. So they, again, Hindus, but if you follow spiritual life strictly, then, you know, there is only one reality, that is the heart.
I understand that what Hinduism teaches us is that if we think that we can hold on to things and possess things, it causes great suffering. That we're really meant to let go of things and be more transparent. We're meant to have a right way of speaking and a right way of thinking, etc. Can you explain to me, when somebody comes to you and says, I want to live my faith, I want to live in a spiritual way, how do you guide them?
Yes, Father. The old traditional way was to renounce everything. As you are saying, to hold on to something, it was no give up, renounce everything. But now we have come to realize that renunciation is not the right way. Mm-hmm. If you renounce everything, today I renounce my mind because my mind is so bad, it's so impure, so insecure. Mm-hmm. Then I will be without a mind, and mm-hmm. I'll act stupidly, everything foolishly. But if I pray to God to illumine my mind, He'll illumine my mind, then I'll be able to feel my heart. See, the present day Hindu philosophy is the acceptance of life. Like, if I have got a headache, I'll try to cure my headache. I will not give up my head. I will not sacrifice. No. Always you have to try to perfect our nature, transform our nature. If mind is impure, if the vital is very restless, and then we'll try to make the vital calm and quiet and all that. Any imperfection we see in our life, we shall transform the imperfection into perfection, not to renounce. If we renounce, then we have nothing. Inside the body is the soul. Today we will renounce the our mind, tomorrow we'll try to renounce our vital and the body, there's nothing. But then the question comes that what are you going to renounce? There's nothing to renounce, and everything is to be illumined. Everything is to be made. If it is perfect, let us make it absolutely perfect. Only believe in the process of progress.
In Christianity, we believe that each person has a soul.
Right.
And it's in the image of God, and that what religion does, what Christianity does, is it helps people learn that that soul grows deeper and better and richer the more you love, the more you care, the more you respect, that you're meant to do things in this world for God, and then eventually you go to God. Would the Hindu philosophy of religion have any parallels to the soul and also to the service of God?
Yes. Now, we take the soul as the direct representative of God. And here our philosophy is that soul is offering its light. Soul gets the light from God directly, and the soul is offering the light blessingfully to the heart, to the mind, to the vital, to the physical. The soul has infinitely more light than our body, vital, mind, and heart. So soul is getting from direct from the absolute God, Lord Supreme. It is no, our philosophy not that soul is while offering, while blessingfully offering light to the body, vital, and mind, soul is expressing its divinity, you know, more and more. It is covering the length and breadth of the universe. But it is the body, and the vital, and the mind, they are receiving the light from the soul.
We have a notion that each person is really, although their status in life may be different, each person is loved by God and equal before God in the sense that they have a soul, that they're connected, every person is connected to God, that you don't have to earn that, that God has already given that to us.
God has given us everything, but only we have to feel that, you have to feel and you have to know that He has given. We know that there is something in us, but we have to feel, we have to claim it as our own, very own. God, we don't claim God. We are afraid of, oh my God, how can He? I am so impure, I am so insecure, how can I claim? God says, no, claim me as your own, very own, a child. You know, He plays, he plays in the mud, clay, sand, but He comes running towards His mother and father to be clean, to be washed. So here He claims, He knows that His father is His own, His mother is own, very own. In our case, when you grow up, we feel that we have done millions of undivine things. How can we claim God as our own, very own? So the day we are ready to claim God as our own, very own, God is the living reality for us.
When I've been to your center, I'm very much impressed by the level of commitment to prayer and to meditation and to taking every aspect of life and offering it to God. The peace runs that you have, the athleticism of the people who walk with you on this journey. When a person wants to be spiritual, is prayer at the center of the way they find God, or?
No, we have two ways, prayer and meditation. Now, Father, you and I are conversing. At times you are talking to me, and at times I am talking. So similarly, we feel that there should be both. Prayer and meditation. When I am praying like this, I am speaking to God, Father, give me peace of mind, give me pure love. And I feel that this prayer is going directly from me, from my heart, higher, higher, highest. Then when the time comes, I am to meditate like this. Then Father is, then God is giving me the message. Be sincere, be pure, be self-giving. This message is coming. Mm-hmm. So when I am talking, doing, He is listening to my prayer. Mm-hmm. Then He is commanding me, be sincere, be pure, be self-giving. So I am listening. So it is that both we need prayers and meditations. With one, there will be no conversation like between you and me. We need, at time you are speaking, at time I am speaking to you. So I have to pray to God, I am speaking, and at times He is speaking to me what I should do, what I must do.
I want to hear your music in a minute, but I can't help but ask you the question. So many people who begin the prayer life say, God never spoke to me. And you're saying so comfortably that you hear the sound of God. How, if someone wanted to hear the sound of God, how would they put themselves in the right place?
And if they do not want to meditate, if they want to depend only on prayers, then I used to tell them that pray to God to make your mind absolutely calm and quiet. In a silent mind, one can hear God's voice. Mm-hmm. If the mind is absolutely silent, if the mind is in the hustle and bustle of life, then mind cannot hear anything. When the mind is silent, God's message, one is bound to hear. So one does not have to pray or meditate. Only one can depend on the prayers. In the Western world, it is mostly prayers. So I'm saying, if you want to hear God's message, God's dictates, then please make your mind absolutely calm and quiet and silent. And then you are going to get the same message that we get by virtue of our sincere meditation.
You know, for those of you who want to try this, I know when my spiritual director first mentioned it to me, contemplation, sitting down, God, this is Tom, and then doing nothing. I was very successful for about 3 seconds, and then I'd get very distracted. It took me about a year and a half trying to do it every day before I started feeling comfortable with it. So if you seek to do that, and I agree wholeheartedly with Sri, it is the way to hear the sound of God. Don't get discouraged. Hang in there. It's really worth it. You know, it's like anything important in life takes a while to get.
Our philosophy is, Father, never to give up. Never to give
never
up.
Never give up.
Never, never, never.
Well, I would love to hear your song. Right. Again, this is the song I was talking about before. It's about a birthday in which you, when you sing somebody's birthday, wouldn't it be nice if you not only celebrated the day, but say, we really love your soul. And there are a number of other reflections, and we'll go over them. This is a beautiful song that Sri is sharing with us today. This instrument, by the way, Sri tells me, is Catholic missionaries brought it to India, and it's a kind of a small piano, and was very helpful.
We are so grateful to the Christian missionaries. They brought it to India, and now we are using it every day, at every moment, to our heart's content. It is helping us immensely. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy, happy, happy birthday. We love your souls.
Very nice. When you recently went to visit some children in the third grade, they asked you some questions. Rabbi Gelman and I did a tape for HBO, again, children. It's our contention that children have a natural piety. They have a natural spirituality. And we don't have to give that to them. God has already given that to them. We just have to watch out that we don't take it away from them due to the confusion of the world and sometimes the cynicism of us as adults. What have you found when you've talked to children?
These children have asked me the question, they wrote to me, and I answered this question. But I used to share with you an experience. Recently, I was in Japan, and there were 1,300 students came to my peace concert. I played and sang for about an hour and a half. They were all in pin drop silence. They were so spiritual. They were between 8 and 13 years old, all girls, young girls. So soulfully, so prayerfully. They were all of the Christian background. It was a Catholic school. So they so then when it was over, they came up to me and it was as if I was a superstar. But while I was singing and playing, it was so soulful, so spiritual. And then, a few days later, we had our peace run. It was so kind of you to mention peace run. They came, this thousand, over thousand students, to watch me holding the peace torch with their principal. And then they also ran with the peace torch. They were so pure because they have developed their heart before they have developed their mind. Unfortunately, in our case, we develop our mind before we develop our heart. So we have taken a wrong step. But if we develop our heart first, oneness we establish, then we can offer this oneness to the mind. It is very easy for the heart to accept someone as its own. But for the mind, the very nature of mind is to divide. Mind gets partition. This is mine, this is you, this is... But the heart says, no, this is ours.
And for those of you who have never had the privilege of meeting Sri Shinmoy, he is a spiritual leader at the United Nations, and he has taken the message of peace and oneness and harmony throughout the world. He's constructed a peace run throughout the world, all the different nations. He's been recognized in almost every country of the world, and he's somebody who has a remarkable ability in terms of writing numerous books, doing artwork, and playing numerous instruments. He really is a Renaissance person. In your own journeys, you've met many people, and I'm going to mention just a couple, three people's names, and I'd like your reflection. All of us are concerned about Mother Teresa and her health, and that you've had some contact with her. When you hear the name Mother Teresa, what comes to your mind?
Two things, two divine things, compassion and affection. I met with her several times, and I've spoken to her a few times on the phone. Even a few months ago, I spoke to her on the phone, and she has written me several letters. Compassion, I see, I feel as the mother. When I meet with her, she inundates me with her compassion as the mother. But then as a sister, she inundates me with her affection. It is brotherly and sisterly. This moment she is my sister, the next moment she is my mother. When she uses her compassion aspect, she is my mother. When she uses her affection aspect, she is my sister. So I felt in her two things. She is my mother, she is my sister both at once.
In Catholicism, the term that we would use for an extraordinarily holy person would be a saint.
And many she's a living saint. One does not have to die to prove that one
I like
can be
that.
A saint. Living saint. She's a living saint, living torch bearer of truth, compassion, and forgiveness, and many other good qualities.
Another blessing to the world is Pope John Paul II. And you had the opportunity of meeting the Pope on more than one occasion. What is your reflection when you think of the Pope?
I met with him four times, but she is Father Pope, but when each time I meet with him, I feel his grandfather. Father judges us. You have done something wrong? You should be punished, or you must not do this. But here I meet with the grandfather. Grandfather will say, he's mine, no matter what he has done, no matter how many bad things he has done in his life, but he's my grandson. I am responsible. So no matter how many bad things we human beings have done in this world, but when I see the present Pope, I feel that he is ready to accept all our sins because he's our grandfather. Our grandfather, he has the compassion, affection, love, and forgiveness of a true grandfather. So when I see the father, but I don't see his fatherless, but I see his grandfather. He is ready to accept all our imperfections as his own very own. So he's a grandfather. Grandfather's love for grandchildren, you know, is always infinitely more than the father. Fathers may not believe it.
Sri has done many extraordinary athletic things. He runs, he plays tennis, He lifts people physically. He lifts great weights, and that's what he's dedicated his life to lifting the human spirit. I can't help but ask you about Mikhail Gorbachev. You had the privilege of meeting him a number of times.
Yes, about six times. I met with him about six times, and I'm blessed to have many, many letters from him. As a matter of fact, yesterday I received a letter from him.
Mm. In the midst of it all, what would you say to the person in today's world who says, is it worth it to live your life for God? What would you say to him?
Definitely, there is no other purpose. We all need happiness. There can be no happiness unless we feel the living presence of God, unless we feel that God loves us and God needs us. And we also have to love God, and we need God. Others' happiness will always remain a far cry. Material success will never give us happiness. No happiness can give us satisfaction, not to speak of abiding satisfaction. There can be no satisfaction, and we are all hungry for satisfaction. And happiness is somewhere else, no matter what we get. Cars, houses, this, that, all our desires God can fulfill, but we'll never be able to satisfy ourselves. We let thy will be done. That is what we learn from the Savior. In his own way, his way is the only way. If you please the Savior in his own way, then you can be satisfied. Otherwise, he can bless us at every moment. He can fulfill all our countless desires, but we shall never be satisfied.
We thank Sri Shinmoy. He reminds all of us that God is right there. He loves us. We just have to open up. I'm Father Tom. Thanks for being with us.